Sunday, September 28th, 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 13 through 21. Brethren, I pray you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we desire or understand, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the Church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Haydock Commentary. I beseech you, be not discouraged nor disheartened at my tribulations and persecutions on the account of the gospel, nor at your own, which ought to be a subject both for you and me to glory in. For this cause I pray and bow my knees to the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity, or fatherhood, in heaven and earth is named. The Greek word oftentimes signifies a family, and therefore may signify, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And thus the sense will be that God is not only the Father of his eternal Son, but of all angelical spirits in heaven, and of all men, especially Christians, made his adoptive sons in baptism. But here may be signified not only a family, but those in particular who are honored with the name and dignity of fathers, so that the name which they have of fathers or patriarchs is derived from God the Father of all, and communicated to them in an inferior degree. This exposition is found in St. Jerome, in Theodoret, Theophylactus, St. John Damascene, and others. Christ dwells in us by his gifts, and we are just by those his gifts remaining in us. And this not by faith only, but by faith rooted and founded in charity, which accomplishes all virtues. It is not expressed to what must be referred these metaphorical words of breadth, length, height, etc. Some expound them of the charity which in our hearts we ought to have for one another, others of the love which Christ showed towards mankind in coming to redeem all. This thought seems borrowed from Job chapter 11. Peradventure thou wilt comprehend the steps of God, and wilt find out the Almighty perfectly. The inspired writer then shows us how the Almighty is incomprehensible. For, says he, God is higher than the heavens, and what wilt thou do? He is deeper than hell, and how wilt thou know? The measure of him is longer than the earth, and broader than the sea. The apostle, alluding to these words, prays that the Ephesians may have faith and charity sufficient to enable them to comprehend all that is comprehensible of God. This is how St. Dionysius explains it. But we are not hence to conclude that there exists such a thing as dimension or size with regard to God, for he is a pure spirit. These expressions are merely metaphorical. For by breadth we are to understand his virtue and wisdom, which extend over all his creatures. By length is meant his eternal duration. By height we are taught the infinite superiority of his nature over ours. And by depth we are shown the incomprehensibility of his wisdom. Hence it appears that the end of faith and charity is that we may arrive at a perfect faith, which may know, as far as it is intelligible, the greatness of his wisdom, his eternal duration, etc. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. The Gospel from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 11. At that time, when Jesus went into the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? But they held their peace. But he, taking him, healed him, and sent him away. And answering them, he said, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him these things. And he spoke a parable also to them that were invited, marking how they chose the first seats at the table, saying to them, When thou art invited to a wedding, sit not down in the first place, lest perhaps one more honorable than thou be invited by him, and he that invited thee and him come and say to thee, Give this man place, and then thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art invited, go sit down in the lowest place, that when he who invited thee comes, he may say to thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have glory before them that sit at table with thee. Because everyone that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Haydock Commentary. What a contrast here between the actions of the Pharisees and those of our Savior. They watched all his actions in order to have an opportunity of accusing him and putting him to death, whilst he, on the contrary, seeks after nothing but the salvation of his enemies' souls. Our divine Savior, regardless of the wicked designs which the Pharisees meditated to destroy him, cures the sick man who did not dare to ask the favor of him for fear of the Pharisees. He could only persuade himself to stand in his presence, hoping that Christ would at length cast a compassionate look upon him, who, being well pleased with him, did not demand of him if he wished to be cured, but proceeded to work this stupendous miracle on his behalf. So says St. Cyril. Christ did not so much consider whether the action would give scandal to the Pharisees as whether it would afford the sick man comfort, intimating that we ought ever to disregard the raillery of the fools and the scandal which men of this world may take at our actions as often as they are for the honor of God and the good of our neighbor. Jesus knew their thoughts and that they would blame him as a Sabbath breaker, yet he healed the man and confounded them by the example of common practice of pulling an ass out of a pit on the Sabbath day. By this example, Christ convicts his adversaries as guilty of sordid avarice, since in delivering beasts from the danger of perishing on the Sabbath day, they consult only their own advantage, whilst he was only employed in an act of charity towards his neighbor, an action they seemed so warmly to condemn. So says Venerable Bede. In the text there is no parable, but only instruction. Maldonatus thinks that our Savior spoke a parable on this occasion, but St. Luke omitted it, giving us only the moral and the substance of the instruction conveyed by it. To take the lowest place at a feast, according to our Savior's injunctions, is certainly very becoming, but to insist upon it imperiously is far from acting according to our Savior's wishes, particularly when it is destructive of regularity and productive of discord and contention. So says St. Basil.